Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Here tonight, we're going to be looking at such an incredible area of life, and that area is called our relationships. And man, I love it. I want you to turn your Bibles tonight. If you brought your Bibles with you tonight, I want you to turn, or you got your phones or devices, whatever you have tonight, I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12. And we're going to dive into it tonight. And we've been talking about relationships. We've been talking about really this key idea that great relationships are possible. Great relationships are possible in life. And but one thing we need to do is we need to learn God's way of thinking. And we need to know God's attitude to relationships if we're to have the kind of relationships that God's planned for our life. And when we have God's thinking and we have God's word and understanding, then our relationships can go to a brand new place. And tonight there is actually two types or two areas of relationships that we can look at. And I just want to show you a diagram. Have we got that ready to go up there with the guys? Have we got that photo? There it is. And just want to show you this photo just to give you a little picture of an idea with relationships. And that's a picture of an iceberg. And there's what's above the surface and then there's what's below the surface. And when it comes to an iceberg, what's above the surface in relationships, many times we can think about relationships with what's above the surface. And that's just our social interactions with people, what we say and all those sorts of things. And that what's above the surface is important, but how many of you know actually it's what's below the surface really determines how well our relationships work in life. In fact, the iceberg is 10% above the surface. It's 90% below the surface. And I want to delve into tonight to what's below the surface in relationships. Because what's below the surface is actually to do with those things that we have in our heart, our beliefs and our attitudes and our understanding when it comes to relationships. And I want to delve into these areas of relationships tonight. And I've called this the spirit of relationships. And we're going to talk about a couple of very, very important words that I believe if you and I can understand the power of these words when it comes to relationships, you and I can discover the power of godly relationships and community in our life. And I want to take a scripture for a moment, just talk a little bit about it. It's called Romans 12 and verse 2. We're going to put it up on the screen. And from the New Living Translation, it says this. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world." And let me tell you, if there's one area of life that you don't want to follow the behavior and the customs of this world, it would be in relationships. Because in the world's context, many times they are distorted. It is warped. And I believe this, that if you follow the world's way of relationships, at the end of the day, they will actually ruin the relationships that you seek to cause to flourish in your life. It says, don't copy the way the world does relationships. It says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. And that's such good news because, listen, God never asks you and I to change something in our life and then just says, see you later. God actually shows us his principles or what he wants us to change, but he always gives us the power to actually walk out that change in our life. You see, that's the difference between Christianity and religion. Religion says, here's what you need to do. Now you go and work, work, work. But what actually a faith relationship with Christ does, it says, look, here's God's principles. Here's God's way of doing life. And God says, and also I'm going to put my spirit and my power in you so that you have the capacity to perform that change. And so tonight, what we're going to look at is not just what does God want me to do in relationships, but also more importantly, which is at the end of this message, is that the most important part of our service is going to be the last 5 minutes, because as you not just hear about the way God wants us to do relationships, I'm praying tonight that actually you'll discover the power to live that out in your life as well. And so the spirit of relationships is so important. What is God's plan for our relationships? What is God's plan for church community? And I want to give you some words that all start with the letter F. And hopefully that'll help you to remember it. Well, the first word I want you to think about is the word freedom. So God's plan for relationships is that he wants to use relationships in your life so that it will bring freedom into your life. Did you know that? God has a purpose for relationships, godly relationships and church community. And those relationships, actually, God will use them to bring freedom. Now, before I talk about freedom, I have to talk about the other side of it. And that's another word starting with F. It's called the word flaws. How many of you tonight have no flaws? Just give me a wave. That's excellent. Oh, James Weeks. He's got a Messiah complex. It's called James Weeks up there. I'm hoping. Who's got a flaw? At least one flaw. Come on. Who has a couple of flaws? Who has many flaws? I could tell you about my flaws, but we'd be here all night. But you know, the word flaw is this. We need to understand we have flaws. And when you understand that what you bring into a relationship is flawed, and what another person brings into a relationship is flawed as well, guess what? You're off to a great start, believe it or not. And here's what the word flawed means. Flawed means to be characterized by a fundamental weakness or imperfection, to have defects. And I think, well, that's us, isn't it? We have imperfections. We have weaknesses. We have some defects in our life. We can talk about why they're there, but that's not our message tonight. But I want to talk about an area of life too. Just talk about social media for a minute. Social media is great on many levels, but it has this one downside. And that's this. We can try to hide our flaws. And we all do it. I do it. You probably do it. We take photos for social media. We edit them. We crop them. We put a filter over them. And every time, really, most of the time, what it's about is we're trying to hide some flaws in that photo. And, it's sort of like, so you take a photo and it's like, well, you take a photo and maybe on that photo you look at it and instead of having one chin, you've got three chins. And it's like, well, I don't want to have that photo. Or maybe the lighting on that photo looks really bad. And then, you know, you kind of look a little bit like Darth Vader on that photo. So you can put a filter over that photo or you can crop it or you edit it. Or my favorite filter is black and white because that just pretty much covers every single flaw that's out there as well. But that's the nature of the way in which we live, is that we live in such a way as human beings where our natural human tendency is, let's be honest, we try to cover our flaws. And that's not social media's fault. That's been going right back to Adam and Eve. The moment that Adam discovered he had a flaw, he'd sinned. What was his first response? His first response was to hide. His second response was to cover his flaws that he suddenly discovered. And so that's exactly the same in that context for you and I, is that we have flaws. And listen, the nature of our sin that's in this world and in us is that we will try to hide in order to not show people our weaknesses, our defects, our imperfections, and we'll try to cover those flaws. But here's what I've discovered. While I can put a filter on a photo, you can't put a filter on real life. And so that's the power of relationships, is actually power of relationships is it forces you and I to actually come face to face with the flaws that are in us and the flaws that are in another person. And so relationships do that. They're the most vulnerable thing that we can do. Because really what you're saying when you have a relationship with someone, a friendship or a marriage, or you could be dating someone or whatever that context is. If you have a close relationship with someone, what you're really saying is, I'm actually going to let you get close enough to me that you can see some of those flaws. And I'm going to trust that as you see those flaws, you're not going to reject me. And so It's a point for you and I where we're saying in relationship, it's saying, hey, look, I have some flaws and you have some flaws, but we're not going to try to pretend. We're not going to try to cover those things. We're actually going to trust in relationships that when we have close relationships and that you get to see the real me and you get to see me with some flaws and some imperfections and defects, which I have, that we can still have relationship. And I love that because I believe this, that is God's plan for relationships. And that is most certainly God's plan for genuine church community. Romans 15 verse 1 says for us to do this. This is what Jesus says to do about relationships. Listen, he says, accept or receive one another. That's in relationship. Just as Christ accepted you, in order that that may bring praise to God. Let me interpret that. He's saying, I want you to have relationships with one another the same way that I have a relationship with you. I want you to accept and I want you to receive people. You say, well, how did Jesus have a relationship with us? Well, the answer is this, is Jesus, he knows us on our best day and he knows us on our worst day. And Jesus loves us and he accepts us and he receives us unconditionally. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, I want you to accept. I want you to be in relationship with one another, just like I call you into relationship. That's not performance-based. No, it's that we have relationship with Christ, even though we have imperfections, even though we have flaws, is Christ has accepted us and Christ loves us and receives us. And you know what? That's the greatest picture that we have of what genuine church community is all about. That we would be people that would accept and love one another the same way that Christ accepts and loves us with our flaws and with our faults. That we would love one another on our best day, but we'd also love one another on our worst day. Amen. And to do that and to have real relationships, guess what? It actually starts by being real and it starts by being open with one another. You can't have a close relationship unless you're willing to be vulnerable. You can't have a close relationship unless you're willing to be real and open with another person. And let me tell you this, when you find relationships in your life where you can be real, you can be you, you can be open with another person, it's the greatest relief you'll ever find. We don't have to pretend to be perfect. We don't have to try to cover, but we can be who we are and we can encourage and strengthen one another. And that's why you and I need to be understanding this, that God wants us in real relationships and God wants us in genuine church community. Because I tell you what, it's only at the point where you and I are willing to be real and open with each other that we can discover the power of God's love and grace flowing through another person to us. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about here. I got saved, or I became a Christian, if you want to put it that way, when I was 18 years old, and it was in this church, but this church at the time was at Aspley. I had no church background at all. And I at the time, I was living as far away from being as a Christian as you could possibly imagine. I won't go into all the gory details, but you can fill in the blanks. But that's all that stuff I was doing. I came to church, and the first service I came into, this night service it was, just like this one, I heard the gospel preached. I sat in this place while worship was going on all around. I felt God's love. I responded to it that night. I gave my heart to Christ and my life was completely changed the first time I did it. But let me tell you this. I started to go to church on Sundays, which was quite new for me. But also as well, I started to go to something called a connect group on a Wednesday night. And that was a small group of people who were gathered at someone's place. And so I would do that on Wednesday nights and I'd come to church on Sundays. And this went on for a couple of months and I would experience God's love and that was great. But I tell you what, I was going to this connect group and my connect group leader would pick me up every Wednesday night and he'd take me there. And I remember connect group because there was always prayer and there was always like some worship and there was always a Bible study and then people would talk and share. And at the end, I always remember there was just seemed to be like seven packets. It's a Tim Tams. I don't know why, but Tim Tams were the thing. There was just an explosion of Tim Tams in my connect group. And so that was really good. But here's the thing. After about 2 months, what I didn't tell anyone in my connect group was that I had a real secret struggle going on in my life. You see, I was still going to church on Sundays and I was having a connect group on Wednesdays, but a couple of nights a week, I was going out with some old church friends and old school friends, I should say. And we were going out drinking and getting quite drunk. And then I'd come and then I'd wake up the next morning. I'd be filled with regret. But then I'd come back to church. And this sort of cycle was going on. And I remember one night, it was about 2 months into being a Christian. I went to this connect group and they did a Bible study. But then this was different this night. And there was a guy sitting beside me who I'd got to know. And they said, oh, listen, this guy over here, he's going to share a little story about his life. And so he began to share a story. And I thought I knew this guy, but he began to tell a story about how he became a Christian. And then he talked about one of the big things in his life was that he had to learn to deal with anger. And he talked about how he had explosive anger. He said, I would just explode. I had no control over my anger. And he spoke about how that when he became a Christian, that in this connect group that we were in, he began to share about his story. And he said, I thought that once I told people what I was really walking through, what I was struggling through, I thought they'd kick me out the door. But he said, I can't believe it. I was just so accepted. And they prayed for me and encouraged me. And he was telling a story about how now months later down the track that God had healed him. And he's now walking in victory in that area of his life. And I remember I was sitting there. This is him talking. But I remember I was sitting there thinking, I need to do the same thing. I've got to tell someone what I'm walking through. I got to open up. And I felt God just giving me a nudge saying, you need to do that. The Connect Group finished, and I remember on the car trip on the way home, my young adult leader, my Connect Group leader, was taking me back home, dropping me at my house. And just as I was about to get out of the car, I just said, hey, can I tell you something? And I just started opening up and told him what had been going on. And I thought, this is it. He's going to hear what I've done, and that's it. Game over. He's going to find out there's all this stuff in my life. Completely opposite response. He sat with me in that car. I remember I was going to drop out. He encouraged me. He prayed for me. And I'll never forget that moment, because I remember the feeling is I jumped out of the car and I began to walk after talking to this other Christian, and he was praying with me and for me. I remember as I hopped out of the car, I felt like there was this weight that just lifted off my life. I did. I literally felt this weight. It was like a burden on the inside of me, and it was just gone right in that moment. And I walked out of that car, and I remember thinking to myself in that moment, I said, I'm free from that. I'm free from that life now. And I walked out of there, and I went, and you know what? Over those coming weeks, he was a good leader. He'd come pick me up on a Saturday night just to make sure I wasn't going to places I used to go before. I discovered the Christians were fun. That was a whole new thing. We had a lot of fun. But I also discovered as well that, you know what? God's way of bringing me into freedom actually required me to be open and real with another Christian. And I believe that God's way of bringing freedom into our life many times is by us having a relationship with another person, another Christian, where we are willing to just take the mask off and just talk about things that we are working through, things that we've been struggling with. And I'll tell you what, the moment you do that, the moment we begin to do that in our life, God begins to work this incredible work of freedom. I call it this. You say, what's freedom all about? You know what freedom's all about? Freedom's all about shutting the door on your past. Did you know that? Sometimes we focus so much, which is great. We're focusing on the future that God has. We're focusing on what's in this direction. But you know what? Before we can begin to move towards our future, we have to also deal with the things of our past. And God wants to do that. God wants to shut the door on the past so that you and I would not be held back by those things of the past, but that actually we would find freedom from those things so we could begin to pursue everything that God has for us. And let me tell you tonight, everyone here tonight has areas that they need to experience freedom in. Maybe it's in an area of anger, or maybe it's in addictions, or maybe it's in an attitude. And here's God's way of working with it. God brings us into freedom always through another person. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. I love that scripture. It's saying, listen, only God can forgive our sins. But that's not the end of it. It says we're to confess our sins to God and we receive complete forgiveness. Man, I want to tell you, there's some people here tonight. You need to know that Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood so that every single one of the sins that you and I have committed, both past, present, and future, would be forgiven. There is not one sin that you can commit or have committed that Jesus' blood will not forgive and wash away. But listen, this James 5:16 also says something else. It says, therefore confess your sins now to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Listen, the Bible's saying this, we've got to God for forgiveness, but listen, you got to go to God's people to get healing. You see, God doesn't want to just bring forgiveness into your life. Guess that's the first point. But the second thing God wants to do, not only does God want to bring forgiveness, is God wants to bring healing. God wants to bring wholeness in your life. God wants to bring freedom in your life. And he's saying here, listen, this is the way you do that. The way you do that is by embracing relationships. The way you do that is by embracing community around your life. And that's what our church is all about. We are a church most definitely of the Sundays. I love Sundays, but we're also a church where we meet in groups every single week. We've got dinner parties. We've got connect groups. We've got Friday night for youth. We've got assembly. We've got young adults. What are they all about? They're all about for you and I to bring us into real relationships and genuine community. And when you and I find that in our life, guess what? You also will find freedom as well. The first word in relationships is freedom. The second word, I believe that God's plan for relationships is to help bring faith into our life. Faith. Firstly is freedom. Secondly is faith. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. Listen, we also believe and therefore speak. I love how it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith. You see, faith is not a me, faith is a we. He said, we have the same spirit of faith. You see, it's vital that you and I have a together attitude to faith. It's together we believe. It's together we stand. It's together we find victory. And see, here's the thing. Faith is not independent. Faith is always together. Faith is praying together. Faith is standing together. Faith is encouraging one another. Faith is believing together. Faith was never designed to be just me just standing here and praying and earnestly hoping. No, the Bible says we have the same spirit of faith and we're going to believe together and we're going to stand together. And that's the power of church. The power of church is that you and I can come alongside people and those people are going to stand in faith with you. Because how many of you know there's some days where we don't have faith? There's some days where we come in and some stuff we're walking through where it feels like, man, I don't know if I've even got faith. But that's the greatest thing. When you and I come into church, when you and I embrace gathering in community, coming together in connect groups, guess what? God will put alongside you people and they will have faith. And they are going to sit in your world. They're going to stand with you and they're going to begin to speak faith and they're going to begin to speak life and they're going to speak encouragement into your world so that you and I can stand together. You see, it's together we believe. You know, in the Bible, it talks about a group of people called the Israelites. And they came out from a place called Egypt and they're traveling through. But the Israelites at this point, man, God has promised them amazing things. It says it promised to give them the best land on earth. There were large cities ready for them. There were farmlands with this amazing productivity. It said it flowed with milk and honey. The Bible said that God had also put fear in the hearts of the Canaanites. It said he had melted their hearts. So this land was ready for them to possess. And so we have in the Bible the scene for the greatest takeover in history. God had shown his greatness. There was nothing that could stop them. But the Bible said these people, they lacked one thing. It says they kept talking about their problems to each other. And the result was, instead of putting faith in each other's hearts, they put fear. You see, the problem, the story for the Israelites was actually in their relationships. You see, around their life, they didn't have anyone who would speak words of faith and words of encouragement, who would stand. No. They were spending most of their time discussing the problems and they were beginning to put fear and doubt into each other's hearts. And how many of you know that the human heart, it cannot hold two emotions at once? It cannot hold two emotions at once. You'll either have fear or you'll have faith. And so you and I need people that are going to come into our life. We need friendships and relationships with people of faith. The Bible says that while there were the Israelites there speaking fear, it says that there were two young guys whose names were Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible says that Joshua and Caleb, when God saw them, he said, I noticed that they have a different spirit. Or in other words, they had a different attitude. You say, what was different about them? What was different about Joshua and Caleb was Joshua and Caleb were men of faith. They were people of faith. They believed God and they believed his promises. And I know this, we all need friends like Joshua and Caleb in our life. Amen. We all need people. I don't need more people who are going to speak fear or talk about the problems anymore. What you and I need the most is we need people who are going to speak faith, who are going to speak encouragement, who are going to speak life into our circumstances. And that's why coming to church, I believe, is the most powerful thing, coming together in connect groups, because you and I need Joshua and Caleb type friends, people who are going to build us up, people who are going to speak faith into our circumstances and encourage us. Because I know there's sometimes in life, man, you just got to borrow faith from someone else. There's sometimes in life where it's like, man, I don't have that faith, but I tell you what, I've got friends who've got faith. I know at any moment, man, I can get on the phone. I've got three or four friends and I'll be walking through some stuff and I can call them or I can text them and just say, I need you to pray for me. And I tell you what, within 5 minutes, I'll get a phone call or I'll get a text coming back and they'll be speaking words of encouragement and life. And Joshua and Caleb were like that. I can imagine these two young guys growing up in youth and they were just those guys who were encouraging, saying, come on, God's going to get through this for us. God's going to do great miracles for us, man. God's going to do the mightiest for us. Come on, let's stand in faith. Let's take this land, because they were men who had faith. And I love it. We need to be people that encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13 says this. It tells us to encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily. The Bible says one of the most powerful things that you and I can do in a relationship is to be intentional about our encouragement. You know what encouragement is? Encouragement is putting faith on the inside of another person. It's telling another person that God's going to take hold of their life, that God's going to strengthen you, that God's going to come through, that God's going to do great things. And I believe that when you and I stand together with people of faith, we discover the encouragement and faith in our life. And the third word, we're going to get the musos up here tonight. The third word in relationships, the spirit of relationships, the first word that we were talking about tonight is the word freedom. The second word is faith, but the third one, so powerful, it's the word forgiveness. You know, I believe this, there's nothing like relationships to teach us about the power of forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is actually the center of the kingdom of God. The Bible says that Jesus, when he went to the cross, he hung on the cross and he died on the cross so that every person could know the power of being forgiven of all of their sin, all of our mistakes. And the Bible says that Jesus on the cross, he hung on that cross and he said he took not just our sins on him, but the Bible says that Jesus took the punishment for our sins. And I love that. The center point of the Christian faith is Jesus forgiving everyone. Everyone. And I love it because there's this great scene in the Bible. And Jesus, he's hung on the cross. He's in the last moments of his life. And as he hung on that cross, there were soldiers there, and those soldiers who'd hung him on the cross were mocking him. They were persecuting him. And the Bible says at that moment, as he's on the cross, he says he looked at those soldiers, and I believe he looked them straight in the eye. And he said these words, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ah, man, I tell you what, I don't think anything points more to the heart of our Savior than that. That even in that point right there, he's speaking forgiveness. And you know what I've discovered in life? I've discovered there's nothing like relationships for you and I to understand the power of forgiveness. You know what forgiveness is like? I reckon forgiveness is like breathing in and breathing out. It's designed and done this way. We're designed to breathe in forgiveness from God and breathe out forgiveness to others. He wants us all the time to live like that in our life and in our relationships. All the time we're breathing in the forgiveness of God, but also we're breathing out forgiveness to other people. There's a flow of forgiveness. That's how God wants us to practice our relationships. Man, I tell you what, what would be the greatest obstacle to relationships, it would have to be the word hurt. See, here's the thing. Here's the flip side of being open and being vulnerable, is that you also give someone else the opportunity to hurt. You also give another person the opportunity to bring a hurt or offense in your life. But I believe this. Relationships give us that opportunity to forgive just like Christ forgave us. You say, how did Jesus forgive me? The Bible says this. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He forgave us. In other words, this, God wasn't waiting for you and I to say sorry in order to forgive us. The Bible says even before all that, before we knew him, before we even recognized him, it says he forgave us. And that's exactly the same way God wants you and I to forgive. We're not waiting for another person who may have hurt us or may have treated us poorly. We're not waiting for them to say sorry. No, that's not it. We're forgiving that person right now. I believe the most powerful prayer you and I should pray every single day is this. Say, Lord, I forgive everyone everything. I'm going to breathe out forgiveness today. As you've forgiven me, I'm going to forgive others.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.